Good evening, gentlemen. We are back with the fifth episode of Overheard at Kelly's. And before getting to tonight's guest, I just wanted to give a big shout out to Evan Jackson, co-host, who's been working long hours this week, absolutely grinding, finished up super late the past couple of days, but still making time for the pod. Evan, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan. You know, I don't do it for the accolades, but it's always nice to receive them. I'm just happy to have another week in the books for the KKC. I try to separate my professional and my personal lives, and I think I've done a pretty good job up to now. But like I said before, I appreciate the shout out, and I hope I can continue providing the content that this league deserves.
That's a pro's pro right there. Now, moving on to our guests, we're joined by the unquestioned number one football guy holding it down from the West Coast, Michael Howe. Michael, welcome.
Wow, thank you. That is some very high praise. I just hope to live up to that. But I'm very honored to be here tonight with a show that has two hosts that truly care about putting out a good product. So, Evan, that is a phenomenal work ethic.
Thank you.
It truly is. Now, Mike, it's been a while since we've seen each other, and unfortunately, the Hackberry couldn't take place this year, which is something everyone looks forward to. But if you could give an update to the league of just how life is going out in the West Coast and what you've been up to, that'd be great.
And the draft was canceled too, so we missed that opportunity.
And the draft.
Life's been pretty good. Had the same job for over a year now, and I think probably the biggest news is, and a couple people know this. I've had a girlfriend for a while. Maybe that.
Wow.
Got over the hump. Broke the dry spell. So I mean, that's pretty exciting. She's pretty supportive of my football habit. Maybe it cuts into Saturdays a little bit every once in a while, where I can't watch as much college football, but that's probably a good thing. But Sundays so far have been pretty fun. So things are going pretty good.
That's awesome. Does she watch like Red Zone and the games with you on Sunday? Or how is that
dynamic? She tried to week one, and it was a little bit of overload. So we just got to like ease her in. Like Thursday nights, she'll watch the game. If she's over or for like together on Monday night, she'll watch the game. Like one game, one primetime game at a time is good. When it's like Red Zone and it's just like bang, bang, bang plays, and also there's like other TVs going on. Yeah, she didn't like that much, but that's all right. It's, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, she'll get there.
Now, has she listened to the podcast?
She has
before?
Not. She does know of the GroupMe and like the guys that are in the GroupMe, but she does not have access to any of the messages that are sent, or she has not heard the podcast either. So.
Okay. Probably for the best.
Yep.
Well, that's awesome. And I think just moving on down to the next question, just to take a trip back in time, if you had to define what the boat times were at Rutgers, what would you say? What comes to mind there?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that it is the best of all time. So the acronym is BOAT, because Bartlett is probably the best times, you know. Been playing some golf with EY and Chang and Lou, who went and played at the Rose Bowl. But, you know, whenever EY starts blasting the mix on the golf course, it just takes me straight back to, like, 217 and 215 pregames where Evan's opening the door for cops. And there are probably some younger age ladies there. But we won't talk about that.
Now your girlfriend definitely can't listen to the pod.
She'll never know. She's
burn the file.
She doesn't
burn
even
the
know
file.
It's a podcast. So, but yeah, the best now, of all times, definitely the 2 years at Bartlett.
Well, which one would you say had the better parties, or the more memorable parties? 217 or 215?
I feel like peak 215. Was it the first fall or the second fall where we got the three noise complaints back?
I think that was
back,
the second
and then we
year.
Had to move over to 217.
Yeah, I think
so
it was the second.
I have to
I
say
it was
the
second
was
one.
The first year then. maybe the first fall when we had some of those, like, I'll never forget the pregame that we had in 2:15 before the blackout game for Michigan State, all-timer. And we had a bunch of days like that.
But, yep. I would honestly say the same. I think 2:15 in its prime was probably the best. And EY, I know you're listening. I hope you're listening. And I need you to prove us right. If you hear this, I need you to drop a make more in the group chat. A make more. Thank you. Evan, what's your analysis on the 2:17, 2:15 debate? I think it's close, but I think 2:15 probably takes
it. I would say that 2:15 was more of like our organized period where it would be like, okay, like we're going to 2:15. We would sometimes have jello shots. EY had the mixes going and that light show thing playing. So it had a good atmosphere. And then I think 2:17, I remember, I feel like I associate 2:17 more of like with the like day drinking and like going there in the middle of the day. Yes. And drinking.
Oh yeah.
And like opening up those windows and seeing all the like the house, like that infamous picture of Jack staring at the stage from like inside of 2:17. So I associate them with different periods. And also the 2:15, the Pong. I feel like 2:15 and Pong, I remember a lot versus 2:17. I feel like we played on the island. I don't know. I think 2:15 was set up pretty well for parties. Yeah, just the way the space was, like it was like a big rectangle. I thought it was well situated. So yeah, I would say they occupied different periods of time for us.
For sure. I just remember the one party at 2:17 where we had, it was either bread or like cereal, maybe both. And like whoever, like I think it was Walsh's and Morin's grade, they brought in a bunch of ladies, and then they just wreaked havoc. And waking up the next day, it was a little legitimate war zone. Like bread was on the ceiling.
There were bread in places we didn't even know existed.
Yeah, it just a mess. But the best times, I would say Bartlett, probably the boat times. 96, obviously incredible, but if we're talking boat, Bartlett's gotta be up there.
Yeah, there was something about Bartlett where like the apartment was like still very nice. Like the building and everything, like the amenities, it was like a nice place to live. And then you just moved to like 96 where it was like you didn't know like what was gonna happen.
Straight.
Like it was so much like, I would say like 96 was probably like more, yeah, it was more like grit, fun. Well, and then Bartlett was a little more refined.
Bartlett was like, I mean, it was just so clean and nice inside. It didn't matter if you were coming up from the garage or if you were coming in from the street. It was almost like energizing to walk through those doors.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's perfectly said.
You got the key fob. You're all fancy. Like,
yeah, versus 96, you walk in, there could be like somebody like throwing up in a garbage can like right when you walk in. Like music like blasting. Like you never knew what the scene was going to be. Like dishes everywhere.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. I think they were all good, but I think I agree. Like the feeling of coming down from the fourth floor to 2:17 or 2:15, and like knowing we were about to have like a good night or a good day, it was fun.
Yep, agreed. Well, Mike, given you are the unquestioned number one football guy in the league, I think everyone's gonna be very excited to hear your power rankings heading into week 6.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry. I don't know. No, you're good. I don't know if you've had any time to think about it, but we're going to put you on the hot seat here, starting with number 12,
I took a little bit of notes, just looking through rosters. And you know, we're only 5 weeks in. And so it does – the first 4 weeks and even the fifth week too, because there's only four teams on bye. It gives you a pretty good idea of, like, who is, like, the purest – like who was the best drafter, you know, maybe there's some like blow up spots in the first 4 weeks that you didn't expect, but overall you pretty much figure out who is like the core of your team and who drafted the most studs and who's going to, you're going to be able to rely on and create that high floor for you. So yep. What's really going to be weird, and what I took into this with my my power rankings is that, like, I was thinking about how, you know, like, all of these, like, news outlets put out the most ridiculous power rankings. And it's very hard to find ones that are, like, very accurate. But they're also all based on, like, overreactions. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody ranked the Dolphins in like, a top 10 team right now after that win over the 49ers. Like, that's just kind of, like, how the media works, just trying to grab attentions, too. I didn't go that extreme, but I also put into the fact that, you know, some of these guys have buys coming up. We're going to get into the real thick of things in these 4 or 5 weeks coming up where I think some crazy things are going to shake out, especially
silly season.
Yeah. With bye weeks, just weird stuff happens. And, you know, you're going to get some guys like Walsh is pretty devastated by buys this week. EY is pretty devastated by buys this week. So it's just running into guys at the right time. But for my power rankings, for number 12, I didn't want to do this, but I actually do have to go with Brendan. I actually do think that his team is going to get better, a lot better, especially with his wide receivers coming healthy. Like, he didn't have Godwin at all. Godwin's missed a couple games. Kittle's going to be a monster. That was kind of a – I think he went, like, 4 for 40 or something. It was kind of disappointing last week. But he had that 115 catch game that was just ridiculous when he came back. So yeah, I think
that would have been nice if that happened against
I think that's obviously the higher that he found a ceiling there. So it's gonna be a little bit lower than that going forward. But that, like, the Kittles and the Kelseys are just so nice to have on your team because you can rely on them going for almost 70 yards, 5 catches, 6 catches, maybe a touchdown. But then if you look at his running backs, you know, I think he's just missing one. And I think the one he's missing is Ingram, and the Ravens' backfield is just a complete mess. Like, I kind of expected Ingram to have a low year, and I expected Dobbins to kind of take over, but it's just like a three-way committee. Like, it's such a pure three-way committee, especially with snaps and touches and everything. Like, Gus Edwards pretty much leads the way in carries right now. Ingram's kind of seeing more of, like, the goal line work, and Dobbins is kind of just filling in wherever. So B. Smith is kind of missing that. Jonathan Taylor should blow up here. I think he's got Cincinnati this week and then a bye and then the Lions. So any running back that's playing the Lions is going to have a good day. But then his receiver is really solid. I like T. Higgins, especially with A.J. Green trending down. Chase Claypool could end up being, like, a legit WR2 by the end of the season, which would be, like, you know, I got lucky on the waiver wire with Mike Davis. I'll talk about that later. But it's just kind of like those things early in the season that you can kind of latch on to. But I do think his team is going to get better overall. So we've got B. Smith at 12, 11. I like really don't like ranking these teams in the bottom because it's so early. I have Ryan. And it's
understandable. I was fully expecting 12 and –
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, Ryan, you have, like, I think you have 50 more points than B. Smith.
Oh, so Yeah, B. Smith's points are just dreadful, and I think part of it is injuries. Brutal. Definitely injuries, and Saquon wasn't that great in the couple games that he played, so that never helps. But Ryan, I mean, honestly, what could really save him is I think Josh Allen might finish QB1. Like, he could if he keeps playing the way he is. Like, the only person you'd have to beat is Mahomes, and if Lamar turns it around, which I'm not too concerned about Lamar struggling that much, but they're just in a people are starting to kind of figure out that read option a little bit. He's gonna have Dalvin coming back hopefully in 2 weeks after the bye. Hopefully they play on Sunday, because otherwise I'll lose the Madison lottery ticket. But I like Ryan's, like, RB2-3 core, Ronald Jones and Myles Gaskin, and then Singletary kind of hold down the fort until Dalvin Cook scoots back. Chenault could be a rocket. And then Christian Kirk, I really liked that pickup. I was kind of looking at him myself because he is kind of working his way back into full health. And then what's really surprising to me is Robbie Anderson this year. Probably one of the most surprising things. Because if you look at Joe Brady offense, they have those underneath routes and then they're deep shots. And to me, when they brought in Robbie Anderson, he was going to be the deep ball guy. And DJ Moore was going to be running all these short, like very low depth of targets, but it's like the complete opposite. Like DJ Moore is running all the long routes. His average depth of targets way up. And then Robbie Anderson is getting all the underneath routes where he can get this like huge yards after catch. So he's worked out to be pretty good. And I thought that was a good part of the trade where it could help you in the short term. So I got Ryan at 11. Let's see, 10. Jack's going to be so mad at me. I have Jack. And it's mainly because of the Kenyon Drake and Todd Gurley as his two top running backs. And then after that is, well, Justin Jackson could break out. But after that, you have Frank Gore. And so the depth really isn't there too much, but I don't know. I think he's trying to work some trades for an RB. I thought he would have flipped Amari Cooper for a running back, but that didn't work out. But he probably upgraded a tight end position with Jonnu Smith because Jonnu is just absolutely a beast in the red zone, and it's going to kind of take away from A.J. Brown a little bit. So I actually did like that part of the trade. I thought it was like kind of a fair trade. I don't know what you guys thought. I mean, obviously Cooper put up, he was like the WR1, like leading points until he put up that four spot.
Yeah. I thought that Walsh, my gut was that Walsh won that trade. I was really pushing with Jack to get Cooper and Hooper from him previously. So obviously I was high on those guys. So just to see the kind of complexion of that trade and what Jack was getting back, I do think he got good players, but I'm not out on Cooper by any means. I mean, he had one bad week. And Dalton, it's not like they're not going to throw the ball. Dalton's probably the best backup in the league. So I don't think Cooper's going to be hurt
that badly. What about Jameis?
Jameis is great. I'm a huge Jameis guy. But I feel like Dalton, he's like been there, proved it, and he can like step in and still be like a veteran guy.
Yeah, the only concern I have with Dalton, and I think that's kind of why I wanted to trade for Stafford, is that the Cowboys' offensive line is a mess. It's so bad. Like, Dak was running for his life. Like, they're missing both tackles. I'm pretty sure all they have healthy right now is, like, Zach Martin, and they're on a backup center. So, Dalton, I could see Dalton, like, struggling pretty bad if he's under pressure. But he's got Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Gallup to throw to, so they should still be pretty good. Their defense is just the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but their defense is so good for fantasy.
In terms of they're just gonna. It was Goddard up totally hit it on the head. Like, you want quarterbacks with a bad defense because, like, if the Chiefs get a huge lead in the first half, they're running the ball. Like, they're gonna go super conservative, like most teams do.
Yeah, you need a team that's like chasing points the whole game.
Yeah. And that's why the Seahawks being so bad on defense has been good for Russell too.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, I mean Russell Wilson, obviously, if he's gonna throw for 4 or 5 touchdowns every week, then that's huge. That's a huge floor to have. And then Nuke, awesome. And then I think Cooper Kupp's very good as your second wide receiver. It's just filling out. Hopefully that Jonnu keeps his red zone touches up and he can find a flex. Well, Philip Lindsay.
Had Hooper been that bad this year?
Yeah. I think he's like tight end 15.
18.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been
so like middle of the pack.
Yeah, but he's had two good weeks back to back now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Jack lost the trade.
Yeah, I mean, say that right now. It's just, Jack, you lost. No, I'm kidding. He texted me right away. He was like, I'm doing this. I was like, I think you pretty much just got to pray. You pretty much got to pray that Cooper falls off.
Yeah, because honestly, like, because Cooper Kupp, I don't think he doesn't really line up in the slot anymore, right?
Yeah, he does actually more because they like Gallup on the outside.
I thought maybe it's the opposite where he's good on the outside and now he's lining up in the slot and he's not a great slot receiver compared to what he was on the outside.
They kind of just move him around more because CD like.
Oh wait, I'm talking about slot. Cooper Kupp. I'm talking about Cooper Kupp.
Oh yeah, Kupp outside. Robert Woods pretty much predominantly. They flip flop pretty well, but Robert Woods pretty much predominantly. on the outside. Yeah,
I don't know. I read how like they don't really use the same, like McVay isn't using the same sets this year compared to what he used to. So Cooper's really not getting the same volume or like the same targets that he used to, like the type of targets that he was so good at. Because he used to get like 10 receptions a game, basically.
Yeah.
He's still been fine, but he's not like, I don't know, like Amari Cooper could go off for like 35 points any given week, even with Dalton, I think. Like he's that good versus like Kupp is kind of just like 10, 15 points a week solid. But so I don't really know where he like upgraded there. Like Jonnu Smith is obviously a good tight end, but I think Hooper, I don't know, maybe you give him another week because Hooper was so good last year.
Jonnu doesn't have a game under 10 points yet.
Yeah, I 13, know.
13, 24, 11, 21.
Yeah, I guess, but like, I don't know.
So Hooper, but that's Hooper the only was, thing that I'll
you,
say.
You see a lot of like, I feel like you see a lot of tight end streakiness in the league. Like Will Disley last year was like killing it. And then he got hurt, but
yeah,
like, I feel like you see like Jared Cook, I think 2 years ago when he was on the Raiders. And, like, he started out, like, so good. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of fell off. Because, I don't know, I guess, like, teams can like, take a tight end out easier than other positions unless they're, like peak Gronkowski or, like, Travis Kelce or, like, there's a lot of other weapons. And I just, like, I don't think the wide receivers on Tennessee are that good. Like, A.J. Brown is good. But, I have Corey Davis, but I just don't really think he's that good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like a 1-2, like pretty much basically like a two receiver offense. Like they don't throw the ball that much. And so I think they kind of just design Smith plays now. It's kind of what I read during in the offseason. And they're kind of just like feeding the ball his way along with A.J. Brown while he's healthy.
Yeah, and isn't their defense? Their defense is pretty good, right? Tennessee, so.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. They haven't really played anyone yet. I mean, obviously they did well against the Bills and got a couple turnovers, but
yeah, I don't know. I might have. I think I just would have waited a week if I was Jack, just to see if like Hooper keeps it up because he's had two solid weeks. Because I'm just like, I don't think Jonnu Smith at the end of the year is going to be like. I don't think he's going to be in like that next tier of tight ends, like what like Kelce, Waller. And Kittle are in.
Wow, Waller's in there?
Yeah, I think Waller's. Wrong. I think right. Waller's like so maybe far, like yeah. Maybe it's like Kittle. Maybe like Kelce and Kittle are in one tier. Then Waller is in like a tier by himself, and then you just kind of have like everybody else. I mean, Waller's the number two tight end.
Yeah,
he has one. He has one dud of a week, and then he's 10, 28. So he went 10, 28, 2, 15, 15. I mean.
Yeah, no, he's getting fed.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. So, like, I would say, like, because there's, like, always, like, if you have one of the tight ends that, like, you could – that, like, is basically like wide receiver production, then you have a huge leg up, like, on any week because you're just going to outscore your opponent in that position no matter what pretty much. But I just don't really think that Jonnu Smith is going to be that guy at the end of the year. Like, maybe he ends, like, tight end, like, 8 or something just because there's so many injuries. If he could stay healthy, but
yeah,
that's my
enough. Fair enough. I think you have to get a running back for Cooper though. I think that's the main miss maybe.
Yeah, okay. He didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So. I think like trading away because he gave away three players, right? Cooper, Darrell Henderson Jr., and who was the third?
Hooper.
Yeah, and Hooper. For Cooper Kupp and Jonnu Smith, like, I feel like he paid a lot for Jonnu Smith, if that's what he was going for. Because, like, obviously Amari Cooper to Cooper Kupp is a downgrade.
Yeah.
Well, so would you trade Austin Hooper and Darrell Henderson for Jonnu Smith?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you would do that. Yeah. But then is it worth
Cooper Amari for Cooper? And, no. Yeah, when you put it that way, probably not. I think maybe it's just another case of, well, we have to see how it plays out. But we know from the past that myself and Jack can get be very emotional traders.
Yeah, especially because Jack, so now that it seems like Jack's made his trades, he was grinding me hard for Le'Veon Bell. And like so hard. Like he's my guy, like you know how much I love the Jets, like blah blah blah. And like he could have drafted him if he loves the Jets so much. I got him in the third round. And then I went radio silent. I wasn't looking to make a trade. Like I'm leading the league in points. Like obviously it's working. I just need to get my schedule right. And then next day he texts me. He says, I have the best two wide receivers in the league. So and then he says, and Hooper is about to like go off. And then like a few days later, they're both gone. So I think it was the Daryl Henderson. Like, because Jack started Daryl Henderson when he got, like, a point or whatever it was. And then he goes all – and, like, I feel like anytime Jack has a player that he starts and then the player gets, like, a minimum amount of points and then Jack benches him the next week and they go off, like, Jack needs him them off his team, like, ASAP. Like, he can't even be reminded of it. So he'll just trade them for anything.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see.
So right, where are we nine?
Probably need to move
number nine.
I'll go a little bit quicker. Nine is EY. I think that his team is better than this ranking because of his insane running back depth. I mean, first of all, he's Derrick Henry, but then David Johnson and James Conner. Like, he has to sit David Montgomery. Like, that's insane. And I've reached out before. It was a couple weeks ago though. And you guys nailed it last week on the podcast. Like, he does want to keep his, like, hold his cards close to his vest. But I don't blame him when you have those kind of running backs. Like, I would hang on to him too. And then, I mean, getting Davante Adams back is huge. I think missing a couple weeks, you know, really hurts your overall team score because that's going to be your highest producer each week other than Derrick Henry. And then for him, maybe just figuring out a tight end. I mean, Ebron might be a good stream this week against the Browns, but other than that, he's been so up and down. I don't think they've really figured out. I think he's been a little banged up. And I don't think they've really figured out their chemistry with Big Ben yet.
I feel like he came this year. David Johnson was like, it was like, wow, is he back? Like, he looked so good, and now he's kind of not.
I think according to Ian Hartitz, his like elusiveness, like his forced missed tackle rate is like back to like close to 2016 levels. So I think it's there. I don't think the team around him is there. He's like, or he's getting the opportunities really. I mean, he only has his reception line is 3-2-2-2-2. So, I mean, that's not what you want out of David Johnson. Like, they need to be using him better than that.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically using him the same way that like the Jets were using Bell, like run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle, like one or two passes a game.
I think he'll get better because they did start Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers. That's pretty rough. So I do think that he'll get better and finish, you know, close to that like RB20-ish range, kind of where he is now. But if Davante Adams stays healthy, and I mean, the sad thing is with Will Fuller, is if he's healthy, you like almost have to play him. Like, you really have no other chance, which kind of sucks because then you have Terry on your bench. And I think I'm kind of biased because I love Terry McLaurin, but having to sit him would, like, really bug me. So I have EY at ninth. I think his points four are a little down from where they should be, and I think they're going to kind of trend up going forward. Maybe depending on his buys. I think he has a tough bye week this week. So that brings me to number eight. So remember, power rankings, how the teams have been doing lately. I have Jake here.
Wow.
His team is in absolute shambles right now. I mean, yeah, Mahomes and Hunt. But then after that, you have Devontae Parker as your WR1. Well, he always slots his team really weird. Like, you would normally put Mike Evans up there at WR1. But, like, having to start, like, Adrian Peterson and, like, Hayden Hurst, that's not like ideal.
Didn't he start Keyshawn Vaughn last week and he got 0 points?
I think so. But
and he lost, and Jake lost by 1 point.
Yeah, it's a Lou. 94-93.
He started Keyshawn Johnson.
Oh my Keyshawn god, he Vaughn, did.
And he got 0 points.
I think for a couple weeks now, and it depends on until Christian comes back, but I do think that his team will kind of struggle. Like I think Deontay Johnson did practice today. I think he came back to practice, so he'll be kind of a wild card in there. And then it's just figuring out like Colts defense and Robbie Gould. So, I don't know. The question at the beginning of the season after the draft was, will his depth be there when CMC goes down, or if CMC goes down? I think we kind of found that. But and then actually what helped was Nick Chubb getting hurt, because then Kareem Hunt gets more of the touches.
So if Chubb had gotten hurt, I don't really know where Jake's team is right now, because Kareem Hunt's been going like crazy since then, or he's been like very good since then.
Yeah, because Hunt's like the featured back now, which is huge.
He's got a touchdown every game since the first – other than the first game, Kareem Hunt's got a touchdown every single game.
Yeah, at it's least. Unreal. So if Christian was healthy, he would be – that would be just – everybody would be struggling against him every week. But I don't know. Hopefully Christian comes back in a couple weeks. I just think that, Mike Evans is a little sketchy right now, and so is Deontay Johnson and Hayden Hurst and Adrian Peterson. So I think – last week and this week might be a little bit of a struggle. So there we go to number 7. I have myself noted the name change. Me and Ryan, I think, are the only two to change our names so far this year. The Lavishka Babushkas. And I changed my name to the Rodrigo's Rocket Ship.
Yep.
The guy has been lights out. He's been insane. but the reason I have myself here is because I have certainly gotten lucky with the Mike Davis pick, or being able to be in a position where I could have the first waiver wire pick and pick up Mike Davis, because he's just basically slotted right into the Christian McCaffrey role. So hopefully, the Rams backfield can sort itself out a little bit. And I know McVay said that Akers is going to take on a bigger role, so hopefully he'll be startable soon. And then I also have myself here just because AJ Brown's figuring out getting healthy. Hopefully he gets a practice in tomorrow so he can play. Mixon, they're finally figuring out how to get him the ball. He's getting 20 plus touches a game now. DJ Moore just needs that yak. Mark Andrews is a god. The offense pretty much goes through him other than Marquise Brown. I heard a gasp.
I was hating on that pick after it happened, but it's honestly stroke of genius. He's a top guy, and there's only a few tight ends that are that kind of guy, so you need that.
I just think that the volume went up a little bit this year, and the volume from last year. He did have a couple of 3-target weeks. Better than that, he has 6, 8, and 9. So. I think Lamar wants to throw to him over the seam, and that's kind of how their offense works. But the reason I took him, because every mock draft I had done, or in every other best ball or anything else type of draft, he was going so early, and that was kind of my guy that I wanted. And so it probably was a reach, but I was kind of surprised that he did get back to that
end. Yeah, I didn't like the pick that much, to be honest. However, based because you had the last pick, right?
So yeah, I had the corners.
Yeah, so you had the snake. So if he was your guy, then you would have had to wait 24 picks for him, or 22 picks for him. So I could see where you might have, because I don't think Mark Andrews probably wouldn't have been available in the fifth, end of fifth, early sixth.
Yeah, I think Waller went before then. So
Andrews probably gone too. Technically, he was your third round pick, but he also could have been your fourth round pick.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's true.
I didn't want to take DJ Moore. I kind of he was there, and I was oh god, I have to take him just because of rankings and stuff. I wanted to take Calvin Ridley. which, you know, the draft is always hilarious to look at. Like, when you look back, like, where guys are ranked and stuff. Like, that's funny. The only other thing I was going to do for my draft was go, like, running back Kelsey. And then I was like, I thought everybody would have freaked out if I took Kelsey in that first corner. But, Jesus, he's, like, unstoppable this year.
Yep.
So I have myself there. I think there's just a lot of upside on my bench, too. I mean, Justin Jefferson, Chase Edmonds could take over Kenyon Drake soon. All those guys, they just need, like, one injury away. Then next I have Mr. Evan. Only because you have some running back issues right now.
And no, I would say
– kind of unfortunate. Say, it's, like, really say, unfortunate.
So what am I, sixth?
Yes, sixth. Yeah. Well, this whole tier is so hard. It's so hard to run. Like, it's so hard to rank.
No, I actually have zero problem with that because, like, my team is kind of, like, imploding right now. We have a lot of locker room issues. But – so, like, I think I should drop in the power rankings. Like, I'm still leading the league in points. Like –
Yeah. But I think, like, the Saints picked the worst possible actually, like, take that back. Melvin Gordon picked the worst possible week to get DUI for your team on the week that
Kamara had a bye. What is he doing? Like, we're in a pandemic. Where is he going? So, like, I don't know what his deal is. Like, we'll work it out. But, like, yeah, I'm a little concerned. I guess, like, Bell signing with the Chiefs is kind of a light at the end of the tunnel because now, now I have him, Kamara – and I have Melvin Gordon or whatever happens with him. But I'll feel pretty good about my running backs in a week. But yeah, this week I don't feel like I wouldn't even be surprised if I lose to B. Smith this week because B. Smith's probably gonna score like 150 points.
B. Smith is gonna have like a Jonathan Taylor game where he has like three touchdowns or something.
Yeah, but no, I think it's fair.
That's a good. What are you going to do with your? Are you going to start two Patriot running backs?
I've been researching the league's DUI policies, and it seems like they don't suspend players until they're proven guilty.
He was at practice today.
Yeah, he was sent home yesterday, but he was back today. And then like Fangio was saying that they're like they still love him or whatever, which is good. I feel the same way. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I guess it comes down to, like, what the league is going to do or, like, if the Broncos want to make an example out of him or whatever. Be like, oh, this goes against our values. Like, whatever. I mean, it would suck if they don't play him. But, if it comes to that, then, yes, I'm playing both New England Patriot running backs. I don't really have another option, to be honest.
One of them's got to have a good day.
Exactly, and the way Bill uses his running backs, like maybe both of them get 10 points. I would take that because my wide receivers are still
fine.
And I still have Kyler, so I should be okay. But
yeah, Diggs and Kyler have been Diggs. I can't believe how good he's been. Him and Josh Allen have been a serious connection.
I was all over that. Like they gave him such a big contract, and they traded like a lot. Like they gave up a lot for him. So
first rounder.
They're not gonna go out and get a guy like that who's already unhappy with his production in or his opportunity in Minnesota, and then like give him two targets a game. Like he's probably one of the best deep route runners in the entire NFL, and Josh Allen loves to launch it. So accurate, like when he throws it long, like Stephon Diggs is just so good at that. So. It was really a match made in heaven, and I also just like love Diggs. Like I definitely have an affinity to certain players that I just draft.
That's your guy. Who's better though, Odell or Stephon Diggs?
It's like asking who my favorite child is, but probably Odell.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never seen Stephon Diggs in the New York Giants colors. So for that, I'd have to give it to Odell.
Oh, true. Very true. Very true. Yep. And then at the helm, Kyler Murray. So you're in pretty good hands there. Moving on, I have Walsh, Mr. Papa Moon, at 3-2. Are we starting the 3-2? Yeah, we're starting the 3-2 wave here. So we've got four teams at 3-2. I think there's some separation in this group, especially since I ranked Jake so low. But Walsh, I think, is going to – I mean, obviously he got hurt by the Chubb injury because Chubb kind of picked it up there for those 2 weeks before he got hurt. And then, I mean, Jacob's on bye, so he's going to have a tough week. But, I mean, obviously having the core of Tyler Boyd, Amari Cooper, and then, let's see, Keenan Allen. Hopefully Keenan Allen stays healthy through his back injury. Like, that's pretty solid. And then you just kind of hope that Austin Hooper can kind of have a couple – big games here and there. But I do think that Walsh, once he gets everybody healthy, it's just kind of riding out the rough patch where he's got the Nick Chubb injury and then like this week with some buys.
Well, I think, yeah, I think that was such a good trade for Walsh. Like I think he if you look at his team after that trade.
Oh, I forgot about Waller.
Yeah, his team was so much better. That's a great
trade for Walsh.
Because Hooper's not, he basically just needed Hooper for one week.
This week. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Hooper becomes his backup tight end, and then he's got Waller. Now he's got Amari Cooper as his like main guy, and he has Chubb, and he has Josh Jacobs, and he has Keenan Allen, who's killing it with Herbert. I mean, his team is a joke now. Like, congrats, Jack.
It's scary.
But maybe this
Chubb was on the 6-week IR though, so he's got like 4 more weeks to go, I think.
Who, Chubb?
Yeah.
There's a 6-week IR? I didn't even know.
Yeah, there's a 3-week and a 6-week. Let me see. I'm pretty sure. Oh, they don't have it on his, of course.
The severity of which is now expected to sideline him for roughly 6 weeks. I mean, yeah.
Jacobs and then either Henderson or, I mean, just McKissick, the target god in Washington.
Yeah, it's actually so funny that Darrell Henderson has had 0 points, like, which is fine because week one he wasn't really expected, and then 20, 18, 4, and 21, and Jack only started him I think the week of the 4.
That's just terrible luck.
Yeah, like the thing is, like, Ryan, this is like what we would want. Like, Walsh won this past week with 101 points, and B-Smith scored 70. Like, I would kill for that. Like, I don't even know what that
feels just
like.
Just once.
Like, yeah, I just want 1 week where, like, the opposite team just, like completely shits the bed. And I'm just,
yeah, you don't even have to worry.
It doesn't even matter. Like, I just want to get out of this week. No injuries. Like, I already have the win.
Yeah, we're just gonna run the ball in the second half. We're going to get to the locker room.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't even care what happens. I'm watching the 4 o'clock games for pleasure and not for, like, desperately needing points.
Yeah, or the Sunday night game. Yikes.
Yes.
I just find it funny how I trade for Dalvin Cook. He gets hurt. Okay. I mean, that happens. But the very next game, of course I'm playing his backup, who's projected for fucking 19 points. Okay.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, Kubiak today said it's nice to guy to have a backup that's as good as your starter, so I can just give him the full workload.
that's really cool. Like, that's actually super sick.
I read that. I guess we could wait until we get to Goddard up to talk about the ramifications of your trade. But
it'd be a good segue because he's next.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I don't know what's going on with Michael Thomas, like. I'm hearing rumors he might never play for the Saints again.
Billy's tweets are terrifying me. Like, what's going on? He just keeps tweeting out, I really do not think MT13 is okay.
Well, I read an article on The Athletic this week from the local New Orleans guy, and he has, I guess, some sources inside the team. And it sounds like MT is just kind of an asshole and not deranged, like Antonio Brown was. So I'm not really worried in that respect. You just gotta get his head on straight. And I think, I mean, one game, if he's just like gonna sit out for one game, that's fine. And hopefully this is like a learning lesson, but I'm not as concerned as Billy is. And I think he'll get back on track.
Yeah, I mean, so confident that he just doesn't think that anybody, like, obviously nobody can cover him, but he literally thinks that nobody's even like good enough to be on the field with him.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's like Michael Jordan was like super cocky, but like he was like Michael Jordan. Like obviously, like Michael Thomas is good, like very, very, very good. Like he's probably like the fourth best wide receiver in the league. I don't know. I feel like he's like almost like too cocky for like, I don't know. It's like he's like detrimentally cocky. Like nobody like enjoy being around somebody like that. Like it's like imagine going to practice and like the entire time you're practicing and trying to get like better with your team, like Michael Thomas is just shitting like on you the whole time. Like that would be so demoralizing. Like Eli Apple, like,
it just
like
doesn't Eli make Apple sense.
Like shows up like his new team just like wants to make friends and like first game like first practice like just gets absolutely burned by MT and then just like gets chirped the entire time. Like I would want to like get out of there.
Yeah, I do think I'll just do this real quick. I do think that the off season being as funky as it was, and then for some reason there was like a week, and I think it went even longer on Twitter where football Twitter was just like shitting on Michael Thomas, and like there was an argument about whether he was actually good or not, and he was so pissed on Twitter
because he doesn't run like long routes.
Yeah, they were just saying he runs nothing but slants, and then he got into like I think him and Devontae Parker have a beef. But yeah, so I think he came into this year like just wanting to prove to everybody that he is like the number one wide receiver in the league, and then he gets hurt, so that probably doesn't help his.
I think in like how many years has he been in the league?
This is
I think he's only got like one catch over 50 yards.
Whoa. I mean, unless Mahomes is your quarterback or Josh Allen, I don't think you're catching him. Like, your odds of catching a ball 50 yards in the air are very low. So
no, not 50 air yards, just 50 yards. Yeah. Or, like, 50-yard plays.
Yeah,
like, that's just – Odell has, like, two or three a week.
Yeah, it's just – it's hard to get those yards after the catch.
Well, if you're elite, it's not.
Yeah, true. All right, so that was our segue. You were talking about Goddard's trade, right?
Yeah, because it just seems like it's funny.
Michael Thomas.
Both marquee players are kind of like.
Yeah, of course.
Not a factor right
now. Well, actually, we could debate that the start that Adam Thielen has had is out of this world.
Yeah, he killed me this week.
He is going off. So Goddard, I have at 4. And it was really just because I think it was between Goddard and Lou, and then I think it's between Morin and Billy for the top and two spots right now. And if I just look at – I put Lou ahead because I think if I just look at Lou's core, there it's a little bit better just right now, just because Goddard is like – I mean, Devonta Freeman might have some good weeks, but I don't know how long that'll last. Like Saquon was struggling to get – yards in that offense, so I don't know how high the expectations could be for Devonta Freeman, but maybe he'll prove me wrong. I love Antonio Gibson. I think he'll only get more touches throughout the season, and I think the Haskins actually hurt him because Kyle Allen is just absolutely he's awful. I mean, I know he did lead CMC to like the number one season, like fantasy season of all time last year, but I think that's because they just schemed everything to CMC. So all he had to do was just like snap the ball, try and look at his receivers, and then just check it down.
I think Dwayne Haskins is legitimately bad. Like that was a bad pick.
Yeah, it could be. I don't understand why they drafted him if they have this season. Like why wouldn't you just ride it out and figure out what he has? I feel like he hasn't played that many games.
Like, I just think like Haskins was like is just like straight up not good. Like I think he's like trash.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's struggled, but I don't know. I feel like the coaching change and everything maybe that affected it. He had some flashes last year. I think his overall consistency is not good enough to be like NFL caliber probably.
Yeah, he's also so slow.
But, man, can he sling?
I mean, he's got, like, a decent arm, I guess, but he was just, like, annoying how everybody was, like, after the draft, like, I don't even like it, Daniel. Like, I'm cooling on Daniel Jones. But everybody was talking about, like, Haskins. Like, he was, like, the can't-miss prospect that, like, you had to take if you were the Giants. And now, like, he's arguably worse than Daniel Jones. Like,
yeah. By far. But, yeah, and I think the big case of that was coming out of Ohio State versus coming out of Duke.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was playing with a bunch of nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that always plays into it in drafts, though. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Gibson could be, like, out of a committee, could, like, legit be, like, an RB2 maybe. But the team is definitely holding him back. But then Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, solid. Goddard's success, it pretty much just comes down to if Eckler and Michael Thomas get back out there. Because if they do, it's just not going to really be beatable at all. So he'll climb probably. But
yeah,
who knows? You never know in this crazy game what can happen. And then so that brings me to number 3 is Lou. And the reason I picked him over Goddard is because of these 4 players. Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, Kenny Galladay, and Calvin Ridley. My God. Like, that could legit be 80 points right there. And so,
so solid.
I do like that over what Goddard has going right now. I know Hunter Henry's on a bye, but and he's been okay so far this year. I don't know. At what week will we get Goddard, who might be our newest Los Angeles Chargers fan, playing Justin Herbert over Deshaun Watson? Think it'll happen? Other than the bye week?
Honestly, it's just the Texans are just such an unknown right now. And it seems, I mean, Herbert carved up the Saints, which a lot of quarterbacks can do. But he has looked very, very good. So I wouldn't say it's not impossible. I think it could definitely happen.
Yeah, I do have faith for the Texans after they fired B.O.B. Their offense, granted it was against the Jaguars, but they finally looked a lot better last week.
Why was Herbert not – he's come in and like, kind of like – He looks like so good.
Yeah.
So why did he kind of like slip under the I? Because didn't they pick him like 10th or something? Like not that high, relatively.
The Chargers?
Yeah. Did they pick
him 6th after the Dolphins?
Oh, Tua got picked 5th, and then it was Herbert.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think it was the reverse.
No, Tua was definitely 5th. Oh, I thought Herbert was taking like 10th. I guess 6th is pretty high.
Chargers did go. I think they had 2 first-round picks, didn't they? Or did they pick Murray in the second round? I don't know.
Well, remember, Herbert was like 1 year before the college football season started. Like he was the de facto number one pick if he declared.
Yeah.
And then
didn't he avoid it to not get drafted by? Well, I guess it would have been the Cardinals. But
yeah, wasn't there something like his teammates didn't like him or like? Something like weird, like they didn't show up to his birthday party.
I don't know. That sounds like a Josh Rosen thing.
Oh no, you know what? It was from that movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner. Like the quarterback in that movie, like the players didn't show up to his birthday, and that like, he fell in the draft.
what a story!
That's hilarious.
All right, so
wow.
Sorry, Justin Herbert, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm sure your teammates all love you.
Slandering his teammates. So Lou, 3rd, maybe. I don't know what's going on with Evan Engram and the Giants, but
maybe they'll
figure it out once they start playing full like NFC East schedule because those teams are pretty bad. But yeah, maybe a better flex than Jerick McKinnon. But other than that, I really like his core 4. That he's got going on. And then that brings us to Billy and Morin. And I think the break off, Morin has Billy by 20 points. Not very much. But I did take Morin 2nd and I have Billy number 1. Just because I'll touch on Billy's team. But Morin, obviously the Le'Veon Bell is going to eat into CEH, but I think that it'll be similar to like the Damian Wilson or Damian Williams and Shady McCoy games last year. It always seemed like one guy went up for like 20 points and the other guy did nothing. And then the next week Shady would go off for like 20 points receiving and Damian wouldn't really do anything. So I do still think that they're still going to, he's still going to get plenty of usage. Like they took him in the first round. Like they're still going to use him. It just sucks that they're taking away his like almost all the carries that he's getting and all the, you know, red zone work. So that hurts a little bit. James Robinson has truly been a diamond in the rough. What a grab. And he's been awesome. And he's going to absolutely destroy the Lions this week. So that's going to be great. So whoever's playing Morin this week, I apologize. Like, Walsh. Sorry, Walsh. That's going to be a rough one. But then Allen Robinson and Jameson Crowder as your two wide receivers while Julio is out and not even having to play Julio is that's just insane depth. Like Crowder, what a pick. I think he's only played two games, but in those two games, he has like the WR 2 points per game. It's insane. So somehow in the Jets like miserable offense, Crowder can score or get like 7 or 8 catches and put up almost 100 yards, which is incredible. And then having CeeDee Lamb in your flex, like he's just one of the best rookies receivers that there is out there. And it was kind of weird. I don't know what you guys thought about this, but coming into the draft, I felt like there was a lot of like, don't draft rookies because you don't know. Like you just, especially in a year like this, like you don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to be used. And I feel like the rookies have been incredible.
I fell victim of – I was so high on Cam Akers. And I do think he will be very good. But I think he's on more of the Miles Sanders trajectory of last year, which he'll figure it out when it's crunch time and he'll make a difference. But just hasn't happened yet. But I heard some of that notion of just kind of trying to stay away from the rookies, but I'm always guilty of trying to just kind of buy low on some of those guys.
And I always feel like the rookies every year in a fantasy draft always kind of like work their way up in like the draft because, you know, like the last thing that we saw is preseason. And then the last thing that we saw before that is the draft. So you're like seeing these guys play. And so you always get excited.
Yep, exactly. I agree. And before we go to number one, I just noticed some scheduling synergies for this weekend, and it is a Metzger reunion between Walsh and Morin, and then also myself and Mike, both playing each other.
Wow.
Both roommates at Metzger.
Metzger week.
Just happened to work out that way. Metzger week.
Wow. What are the odds?
Yeah, seriously.
Should we have a bet of which Metzger alum will score the most points this week?
That's a
whoever has the least amount of points.
Whoever has
the Ethan Metzger again.
Just show up on
chill for like a night and sleep in like the lobby.
Sleep in the laundry room. Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think of that. That is awesome to pick up on. Okay, so
number one,
Billy, and I think it's just because of his floor. Like having Zeke, having Travis Kelce, DK's out this week, but DK has just been unstoppable. Like he's ridiculous, and he's just running go routes. But he's like the WR4 so far. So I mean, that's some serious, you know, draft position that he made up as probably his second receiver behind Robert Woods, maybe. But it's just overall solid team. And then you throw Lamar in there, who is, just gives you that super high floor as well, but also an extremely high ceiling because of the rushing and rushing touchdown potential. So I think right now he's definitely the team to beat. Obviously not in the standings, Morin is, but I do think that coming down the stretch, Billy's going to be tough to beat.
I think that's very fair analysis, and he's probably deserving the top spot.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably fair. I mean, he scored 146 points this week. I think I like Morin's team just a tiny bit better, but I guess Morin's might be on like a short lease or borrow time, since Clyde Edwards-Helaire is kind of going to. I mean, can you even start him now? I guess you have to maybe like wait and see a game where they both play together.
This weekend. Yeah. I mean, it actually worked out perfectly for Morin, because I didn't even touch on him not even having to play Julio Jones or Chris Carson. Like, that's just absurd.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, I mean, he can just fit Carson right in there and then hope that James Robinson keeps up that production.
Yeah, I mean, his team is going to be fine. I think he just, like, loses a little depth. Like, his team is still very good. I can't believe I gave him, like – actually, no, I can believe it. I gave him Mike Williams for the Bucs defense, because at the time, I really, really needed a defense, and I was going to drop – like, I was going to drop somebody, and I didn't like any of the defenses on the waiver wire. So, Mike Williams was the player I was going to just let go of, and then I found Morin with two defenses, and one of them was the Bucs, and I forget who they were playing, like whatever team. And so I went for him. But now I think like somebody on their line got hurt, or somebody on their like their linebacker got hurt this past week. So I don't think the Bucs are really like that. Was it
Devin White or Levante David?
I don't know. Let me say.
I didn't. The Bucs have just been insane on defense. Easy top five defense in the league.
Well, Vita Vea got hurt.
Yeah, on the D line, that's huge.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks for me. But I mean, I don't mind that trade. Like, I was gonna drop Mike Williams anyway.
How often were you gonna play him other than maybe a bye week?
That's the thing. Like, Mike Williams, you can't really ever play, because like he'll have weeks like this past week where he has 27 points, but then like the rest of his weeks are like 10, 3, and 2.
Yeah,
and he's always hurt. So
those near yards.
I was never really gonna play him, so I stand by that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I understand that.
Mike, that was a phenomenal job ranking the league. I mean, no offense to our previous guests, but I think Mike just came so prepared and probably the most well thought out and kind of analysis-backed rankings that we've had so far, but that was just an amazing job, Evan.
I mean, we're talking about like air yards and like routes that players are running. So
depth of target.
Yeah, depth of target. Like the technical analysis was unbelievable. So I felt like I was on I felt like I was in like the Fantasy Footballers podcast or something. But
wow, that's high praise. Thank you. Sorry, yep. Sorry to our listeners for going long.
It's been a true treat. And just as a bonus question to take us out, Mike, you are the number one football guy. But if you could round out the top five, 2 through 5, who would you say are the next football guys in the league?
I've been really impressed with Goddard. His knowledge is really well. Is pretty high. He seems pretty sharp with the moves that he made. I mean, in his position, I actually really like that trade that he made. I mean, you just gotta hope that you survive and fend off people, like maybe go 500 and until you get those guys back, because then your team's just gonna be a rocket ship. But I mean, that was a big risk, but also like pretty sharp play. Like you gotta risk some things to win. Billy's always been pretty high up there. I mean, Evan's knowledge of statistics is pretty high, and he's always used that to his advantage, I feel like. So it could be Goddard, Evan, and then I think for like spirit and love of the game, you have to give it to Jack.
Jack's gonna be like, so triggered that he wasn't in the first pit, the next up football guy.
Oh, I was not ranking those. I thought you said just okay. So 2 through 4.
Yeah, 2 through 5, technically, with you as number one. So starting at 2.
Oh, okay. I would probably go Evan for the analytics and statistics.
Thank you.
Jack for his passion.
I would agree.
And just love of the game. Like, he just eats, sleeps, and breathes football. And just like, he just wants hat on a hat, like, moving bodies around. And that's really, all, like, what football is. And then I don't know. I feel like between – that would leave me with, I guess, Godra. But leaving one of the Rose brothers out doesn't feel right. So I guess I can't put one in and not the other. So I guess Godra. I've been really impressed with his interaction with the league and his the moves he's made so far. And obviously his success.
I think that's very, very fair.
Yeah,
I would say very impressive.
I would say, like, initially, like, I would say Morin's, like, the most not football guy.
But he is, though.
But he is, yeah, he's like Kyle Shanahan, like, showing up on the sidelines, like, with a flat brim, like actually knows the game a lot, but he's just, like, wearing his, like, varsity jacket and, like, a flat brim, being like, yo, what up, guys? Like, but then, like, actually, like, knows the game. So
yeah, like walking the streets. If you didn't know who Kyle Shanahan was, you would have zero idea he's a head coach of an NFL team.
Yeah, you think he's like a SoundCloud rapper or something, or like. So like, yeah, I would say like that's like more.
That's actually a great segment to save for the next guest. We could do league member comparisons.
Yeah, that'd be good.
NFL head coaches. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Great catching up, and just wish you best of luck for the rest of the year. And we'll have to iron out the details for the
yeah,
Mets
no,
week.
I look
weekend.
Forward to it, and I look forward to our matchup on Sunday. I kind of like that everybody's just starting at 0 at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Clean slate.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I think these were the best power rankings we've had so far. Both in the bonus ones and the league ones. So always a pleasure. Your analysis and technical knowledge is always amazing and a joy to listen to. So thanks.
All right. Yeah. No, thank you for having me on.
Okay. Good night.
All right, gentlemen.
All right. Go Lions.